This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen, president of World Ministries International, as well as Eagles Saving Nations. Go to my website, worldministries.org. That's worldministries.org. Check what we're all about. Check Eagles Saving Nations. Join it today. We've got to have another great awakening, or the Republic is going to fall. Millions will die. Once again, you're watching or listening to the Warning Program. In the studio today is George Bates. He has quite a story. I met George today, and I thought I'd let him just tell you his story, his life story. But also, you just stay tuned, because he actually died and came back to life. That's why he's sitting here. Fascinating story, fascinating man. Again, he was a GS-13. He was officer in the Marines. Alcohol, drugs. Tell you what, somebody out there I know needs to listen and watch this program. George, welcome to the Warning Program.
God bless you. How are you?
I am fine. You said you came, actually, you thought you came to know the Lord as young as two. Is that correct?
That's correct. One quick correction. I was an officer candidate in the Marine Corps. I was medically discharged before being commissioned.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's because you broke.
I broke my left femur.
Wow. Well, that explains the GS-13.
Yeah. Thanks to the Lord, I've been blessed, just like we've all been blessed. I have very good memories in childhood, early childhood.
Okay.
As young as 2 years old, hearing the Lord's voice.
Wow.
Hearing Him tell me to believe what I'd been hearing at church, what I'd been hearing from my dad. Fortunately, thanks to him, I chose to believe. Our Lord is amazingly faithful.
Amen.
The George that died was a terrible example of God's word, where He says, if you live for yourself, you will certainly die. The most terrifying event of my existence was physical death. I was horrified. And God being so merciful, I only felt that pain for such a brief fraction of a moment, such a brief moment of time. It might have been a nanosecond. Just enough length that I began to yell.
Okay.
And then the Lord spoke to me. And He said, why are you still having that emotion? And I realized I was no longer in pain. And then after that, He called my spirit home to heaven. And I got to see my soul traverse through universes, stars, planets, moons, the heavens, in fact, going past so quickly, it was incredible. At the time, I didn't put two and two together that I had just died. And then I arrived in heaven, and all I could see in every direction was light, God's beautiful light. And I wondered to myself where I was. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, you're in heaven. And I said, I don't deserve to be here. And His loving, faithful response was, I know you. And then I apologized. I said, but I hadn't had a chance to ask you yet for forgiveness for all my sins. And again, He lovingly said, I know you. Each time He said, I know you, He very quickly, very succinctly reminded me many of the wonderful truths that He's been teaching us since He created us. He's our best friend. He is so faithful and so loving. He chooses to forgive and forget terrible iniquity. And He loves us so much. It's incredible. He made me feel so loved, so comforted. I just spoke my mind.
Wow.
I said, I wasn't ready yet. And he knew what that meant for me, obviously, our Lord being omnipotent, knowing everything. He said, what would you like to do with your life? And I said, serve our country a while longer and spend a little more time with my dad. My dad had been diagnosed with terminal lymphoma cancer about 5.5 years prior. And many of the family members that we have were nagging him afterwards, after he had revealed his diagnosis. And he later convinced them that he misspoke. And I knew that he was dying. So did he. And he had resigned himself to the wonderful truth that we're provided by the Lord. It is truly better for us to be in heaven. So he just decided, I'm going to die. And but God had better plans. Since that time, he has been completely healed of stage 4 lymphoma cancer.
Wow.
Yeah. The Lord then reminded me of the accident that I'd been in and informed me. He said, your body has been destroyed. He said, I will not promise you the condition that your body will be in. And I said, I trust you will heal me. And then he said, your body is much more damaged than you think it is. And my initial reaction to that was very ill-informed. My initial reaction was, that's not true. But fortunately, God being so merciful, he doesn't convict us of sinning if we're doing something wrong out of ignorance. So I can attest to being prevented by God from sinning in heaven. He then spoke loving and kind to me again and said, it's true. And then I was presented with the ability to make an informed decision. And I accepted his truth and how he had proven every day of my life that he can be totally trusted. And I was filled with greater peace. And I said, no matter how damaged I am, I trust you've proven you will heal me. And then he said, paralyzed. And I began to respond that I trusted he would heal me. He drew the outline of me. I used to say outline of a man. The Lord later explained he drew me. He drew this beautiful picture in spirit. It was this wonderfully glowing outline of myself, and waved his hand across the neck and down the body and let me know if I were resurrected, I would be quadriplegic paralyzed. He said, from here down, you will be paralyzed.
From your neck down.
Yeah. But I knew exactly what he meant. Thanks to him. And I said, no matter how damaged I am, no matter how paralyzed I am, I trust you've proven you will heal me. And then he said, the pain that you had endured prior to death, I will not promise you how long that will last. Thanks to him, he'd already proven to me that I knew what he meant. He meant the tribulations, the long suffering that we endure while living as his saints, his chosen people on earth. And my response was, everything will be fine. Right after I said fine, he resurrected me, spoke my spirit from heaven back to earth, breathed life back into this formerly destroyed temple, and via our loving Father, God Almighty, and the Holy Spirit, and our awesome Messiah, our God the Son, Jesus Christ, breathed life back into me. And then I began screaming and yelling again. And St. Mary's Hospital in Mechanicsville, Maryland, did x-rays. and sedated me because I was trying to climb off the table, I had this thought that perhaps my pain would be less if I walked around the room. And they were terrified that I was going to further damage myself. I didn't know at the time I had actually exploded 2 vertebrae on impact, broke another 3 vertebrae, broke my spinal cord. They did a CAT scan, confirmed all that, and decided he has zero hope to live. He's certain to die today. But they didn't know what God's will was on the subject. Our Lord kept me alive. Thanks to God, my sister and brother-in-law are Mayo Clinic PhD graduates with degrees in medicine.
Wow.
And Mayo is our nation's leading authority on medical education, thanks to the Lord, because that partnership between Mayo is with God's children. Mayo started as a doctor's office partnering with nuns, with nun nurses. And the Lord inspired Mayo Clinic to make available the Mid-Atlantic United States best available shock trauma response team and neurosurgery expert team. So they put me in a medically induced coma. I later found out that the Patuxent River water was polluted enough that it gave me a severe lung infection. So I needed to heal well enough that they could perform a surgery on me without killing me just from attempting the surgery. So I was in a medically induced coma for about 5 weeks. And basically, when I came out of that, it felt like I had been sleeping, you know. And I met the lead doctor, and he introduced himself. I forget the man's name. Explained what an expert in his field he was and how he had seen all the worst accident victims in over 20 years for all of Washington, D.C., all of the state of Virginia, all of the state of Maryland, and Delaware. And he said, everybody I've seen with similar injuries is dead. And his understanding of things, he said, you're lucky to be alive. And he said that was the good news, that I had, he estimated, I had a 1 in 100 chance to live. And then he said, sir, unfortunately, the bad news is you're quadriplegic, paralyzed for life. I said, I'm a Christian, I'm a Marine, God will fix this. And he said, sir, what you want is impossible. And I said, actually, God can heal everything, and he raises the dead unto life. And the man continued arguing with me, and he challenged me to move. And I couldn't. I couldn't move anything other than my mouth, basically. Eyelids. And thanks to the Lord, I wasn't terrified. It was unnerving. Certainly, I didn't want to be paralyzed, but I was confident that God would heal me. The man continued arguing, and he said, you don't get it. You don't understand. He said, if you do physical therapy 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for the next 3 years straight, you have a fraction of a maybe chance, a 1 in 1,000 maybe chance to only maybe possibly move one fingertip again. And then he looked me in the eye and he said, don't get your hopes up. Previous to that, and the Lord explained it to me later, our enemy, the devil, told him to tell me hope and healing will kill you. And thanks to the Lord, I had faith. And I told the man, let's agree to disagree. Please leave. And I prayed. And God spoke to me and he said, why do you want me to heal you? And I said, I want to be able to work again. I want to be able to do hard physical labor if I choose. I want to be able to exercise and lift weights and play sports and hunt and fish and camp and hike and rock climb. I think around that point, the Lord said, what about swimming? And I said, I love swimming. I would certainly like to do, you know, to be able to swim as well, something similar to that. And I listed a few more sports. I think the Lord might have even asked me some questions about sports. And then he said, what else? And I knew right as he told me that, that what I had said was good. It was obedient to his will, but it wasn't nearly good enough. And I said, lead a good life. And then he said, what else? And I knew again, what I had said was good and obedient, but not good enough. And then I said, do something good for you. And at the time, I was quadriplegic paralyzed. But the Lord filled me with such an awesome, holy feeling in every part of me. It was so wonderful. And I knew I could trust he would heal me. He later explained to me recently that he had begun healing me then. He's so amazing. I was in horrifying pain. I was still quadriplegic at the time. Or at least my understanding was I was quadriplegic. And I had horrifying pain in my neck and in my head. And I said, Lord, I need my rest. I need to sleep. Please take my pain away so I can sleep. And then our enemy, the devil, tempted me that I shouldn't ask the Lord to take all my pain away. And foolish me, I decided to ask God instead, take away enough of the pain so I could rest. But God being so generous, he took away so much pain, I was able to fall asleep quickly after that. And when I woke up a few hours later, I could move all my extremities. I ripped the, I think it's an intubation tube, yes, out of my throat. It was choking me. Very painful. I have horrible memories of those things. And then nurses and maybe a doctor screamed and yelled at me and insisted I would reparalyze myself if I moved and that I wasn't allowed to take that thing out. And I explained to them how much it hurt and they didn't care, or at least they didn't act like they did. And they sedated me and put it back in, and I woke up again and ripped it out again. And then they began yelling and screaming again. Our Lord is very merciful. He convicted me of the terrible, sinful thoughts I had about, you know, being angry at them. And I petitioned his help. And he later then convinced them that they were not to do that anymore. Those things are terribly painful. And a couple of days went by, and then the Lord spoke to me again. And again, he had convicted me of my anger. I was sitting on a full bedpan, and angry that nobody had emptied it. They had prescribed a diuretic to counteract the morphine that they were giving me, and with terrible side effects. And he asked me what I was waiting for. God asked. And I had apologized for sinning. And I asked him what he meant. And he said, you can walk. And foolish me at the time, I said, but Lord, they yell and scream at me anytime I move. And again, he lovingly said, you can walk. And forgave me for explaining further what he already knew. And he then convinced me that he would convince them that I could walk. And the next time I needed to use the bathroom, I could simply tell them I can walk. So I said, I agreed with the Lord. And I decided to wait for the very obviously good nurse the one who truly was loving and kind. Unfortunately, many of the other hospital employees at one of the nation's best hospitals acted like disgruntled fast food employees. Like, they didn't care about their jobs. They didn't care about patients. They were just there doing a job. So I said I wanted to wait for the nice nurse, the one who was loving and kind. And I did. And he convinced her that when I requested to walk, that I could, that she could let me try. He had told me, if they protest, tell them that they can hold on to you. So I walked in, I used the bathroom, and I was crying when washing my hands. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, now tell her you want to walk to the end of the nearest hallway and back. Fortunately, God forgave me for saying, but Lord, it was a miracle you got her to do this. And he said again, lovingly, tell her you want to walk to the end of the nearest hallway and back. And if she protests, that she can hold on to you. So I walked about 50 yards one way and then turned around and walked 50 yards approximately the other way. And she said that was enough. She was afraid that I was going to do too much. The Lord told me I could go back to bed, so I did. And he helped me rest and fall asleep later that night. The next morning I woke up and he said, double the distance you walked the previous day. And fortunately, he wasn't upset when I probably quadrupled it. And then the next morning I had woken up and he said, triple the distance you walked the previous day. And I was so happy to be walking, I probably walked 5 or 6 times the previous distance. And again, he was happy that I was happy to be walking. And each day I woke up, he told me to multiply the distance I had walked the previous day by the number of days. About a week went by, and the Lord said to me, each day you're here, they're charging you an amount of money you cannot afford to pay. And he said, you can go home. I will heal you at home. So I informed the hospital staff that I wanted to go home. They said I wasn't allowed to. They were hemming and hawing, and the Lord explained to me that they were worried about liability. So I told the doctors that I would sign waivers. They hemmed and hawed, and the Lord explained to me that they were afraid that they wouldn't hold up in court. I then said, you can have your attorneys review them, and when they're satisfied that you can't be held liable or culpable for anything, I'll sign them. That caused another couple days worth of delays, but then I signed papers, and thanks to God, I walked out of the hospital.
Wow. Was that doctor shocked, the one that said you'd, you know, for the rest of your life, you're going to be...
There were dozens of people shocked.
Especially that one arguing with you, huh?
Yes. Yes. Our God is so amazingly loving, faithful, and encouraging.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you're watching, listening to the Warning Program. George Bates, fascinating story. I've been just letting him tell it because it's so fascinating. And you might need a miracle, and God can give you that miracle even now. But, George, I want you just, you know, you jumped into this, but you didn't tell them how you got into this situation. So tell that.
Our adversary, the devil, tricked me into throwing my motorcycle key into the Patuxent River.
Okay.
And then suggested I retrieve it.
Okay.
Knowing that I didn't know that at the end of that very long pier, there was shallow water. I assumed it was deep.
Wow.
And that me, having been foolish enough to throw my key in, I wanted to get my key back. I then dove in after it, diving into 2.5 feet deep water.
Wow.
When I hit, I had exploded 2 vertebrae, broke another 3, and broke my spinal cord.
Oh, my.
But God kept me alive. He, after I hit, had me surface to the top of the water, get a good breath, and he told me that my back and neck were broken. I think he might have suggested back more than neck. Or, well, maybe he said back was broken. And he said, grab your head, get out of the water. So I then realized my left cheek was on my chest.
Oh, my.
And grabbed my head, picked it up because my neck was basically like a limp noodle, and started swimming to shore. Even with all that damage, God gave me enough strength to swim. And I swam a few strokes and then bumped a knee and a foot on the bottom. And the Lord inspired me that I could drop my legs down and walk out of the water. So I walked. Or, you know, he inspired me to change how I was trying to egress the water. And I made it to about shin deep water. And then physical shock set in, robbed me of my strength. And my arms fell to my sides. I wasn't supporting the weight of my head anymore. It flopped over, cut off my air. I fell face first in the water and drowned.
Wow.
Yep.
And so you just drowned right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I had family over that day. The Lord inspired my dad to go check on me. And thanks to the Lord, my dad knew CPR, being a retired naval officer. He climbed down the steps. It was a steep cliff going down to the river, and drugged me out of the water and gave me CPR. The Lord worked through my dad and kept me alive. I then have memories of the EMTs arriving with the backboard and terrible pain.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, George Bates, dead. George Bates, they said he would be paralyzed the rest of his life from the neck down. George Bates today walking, breathing, working, he's right in front of me. That's the God we serve. He can heal you too. Don't give up. Don't give up. Father God, touch people right now. Touch him right now. Touch him right now. Heal him right now. Heal her right now. In Jesus' name. Again, you're watching, listening to the Warning Program, worldministries.org, worldministries.org. May God richly bless you.